Well, thank you so much for coming tonight, wherever you came from, whether you were at work or at school or whatever you were doing. I'm so glad that you took time to come and be in God's house on Wednesday night, be with God's people.
Amen.
And thank you to Pastor for letting me preach tonight. I called him and asked if he would let me come and visit, not expecting to preach, but I'm grateful for the opportunity and glad to. This is the first time I've ever met your pastor. And I've been his director for 10 years, and we finally get to meet this week, and I'm so glad about that. And I thank God for good families like the Turners that are serving the Lord all over the world. Brother Kevin, thank you for the missions presentation.
Amen.
You did an excellent job, and you have some excellent missionaries. And, of course, it's always encouraging to my heart to see families in New Zealand as missionaries. We served there for 12 years, and the Lord allowed us to start a church in the city of Whanganui. Grace Baptist Church is the name of the church there. And while I was pastoring there, God called one of our young men to preach. And he went to Bible college, and then he worked with me for a couple of years. And when we left New Zealand to move to Thailand, he became the pastor of the church.
Amen.
And he has now been pastoring the church longer than I did. And the church is still going strong and still seeing people saved and baptized on a regular basis. And so that's just a blessing to me. And then, of course, the Johnston family are very good friends of ours. I was actually there 2 weeks ago. I preached for Brother Johnston 2 weeks ago on Sunday. I met Elaine and Dennis. I met both of them. They were in the service that morning. So they're real people. They weren't kidding. Got to meet both of those people. We got to go out soul winning on Saturday. And we parked our car. We were going to knock on doors down a street there in Richmond Hill. And the first house, we were walking to the first house, and I saw two men in the driveway of the second house. And I remember something that a preacher said to me years ago. He said, doors don't get saved. People do. And so we skipped the first house and went to the driveway and talked to the two men. And the first man that I talked to was from the Philippines. His name was Paul. He was in his 50s, and he was not saved. And I gave him the gospel, and he got saved in the driveway.
Amen.
2 weeks ago in Toronto, and so praise the Lord for that. Got to see Brian and Liz Hebert, who are working there. Of course, I teach at Hiles Anderson College, and BJ was one of my students, and Eric is one of my students right now, and Ashley is one of my students also. And so you're looking at faces and praying for people, and I'm seeing my friends up here, and it's kind of, this is wonderful, and I thank God for the Johnston family. I told your pastor today, my wife and I went together there, and we sat down in their home 2 evenings and shared family devotions with them, read the Bible together and prayed together, and just they're very genuine Christians and very sweet family, and I thank God for them. And then the Johnson family, and this is not coincidence either, preacher, we showed Brother Johnson's video at our church on Sunday and had a video of the building that they finished, and they've just laid the concrete floors, and they're putting the concrete for the upper building and working on the parsonage there. And I guess our church supports a lot of the same missionaries that you folks do, but I feel like they're all my friends. And so what a joy to know that you can make a difference in South Africa from Vancouver.
Amen.
And you can make a difference in Toronto from Vancouver. And you can make a difference in Christchurch, New Zealand. Boy, if there's a place that is the uttermost part of the earth, the Hutchins are there. They are in the uttermost part of the earth. And you get to make a difference there. And I thank you for supporting missions. As I mentioned, my wife and I went to New Zealand when we were young, and we had 2 children, and my wife was 7 months pregnant when we went there. And while we were there, God gave us 4 more children. And then when we left New Zealand and moved to Thailand, God gave us number 7. And so we have 5 girls and 2 boys, and 3 of them are now married, and I'm a grandpa. As of 8 months ago, our first 2 grandsons were born on the same day. Can you believe that? 1 in Oregon, 1 in North Carolina, both the same birthday. And I don't know if anybody else ever had that story, but God smiled on my wife and I, and we're very happy to be grandparents, and so that's a joy. While we were in Thailand, we went to Thailand with 5 other families, and we went to the city of Bangkok, one of the largest cities in the world, and we went to the northern suburbs. Most of the people that go to Bangkok go to the southern part of the city, and we were way up north where there were very few people with white faces and blue eyes. And all of my kids have blonde hair and blue eyes, and so we would walk into the shopping mall and everybody would stop and say, oh, look, farang, farang, farang. They'd point out the foreigners, and because we were the only ones there with white skin. But we went to school, and we learned the Thai language, and we started a church there, the First Baptist Church of Nawong. And I learned something about the Buddhist people in Thailand. I learned that most of them don't want to be. Most of them are not happy being Buddhist. And we would go out and we would preach the gospel and we would have hundreds of people get saved. And the church just grew so quickly. Of course, we started with six families and all of them were trained soul winners. And of course, none of us spoke Thai, but I told your preacher, we went to a local university and asked if we could talk to the professor of the English department. And I told him, I said, I want to hire your six best English students, and they're going to come to our church every Saturday and work for us for 2 hours. And all they have to do is follow us around and translate whatever we say. And so they would come, and we would pay them, and they would go out soul winning with us, and they would translate. We'd give the gospel in English, and they would translate it in Thai. And the first people that we had saved in Thailand, we had saved through unsaved translators that were giving the gospel. And then slowly, all of them got saved except one. They would hear the gospel, they would say the gospel. They would hear the gospel, they would say the gospel. And one day it would click, and they'd say, I need to do this too. And then they would get saved. And that's kind of how we started. And we had some miracle stories. I remember we had a lady that came to church one Sunday, and she got saved. And she was so excited about it that she went home. And the next Sunday she came back, and she brought her friend. And while the first lady was getting baptized, her friend got saved. And the next Sunday they both came back with a friend. And the second lady got baptized while the third lady got saved. And the next Sunday, all three came back with a friend. And the third lady got baptized while the fourth lady got saved. I'm not making this up. This is a true story. And the next Sunday, all four of them came back and brought a man with them. And while the fourth lady got baptized, the man got saved. We had a miracle stories that happened like that over and over and over again. And although the gospel has not been preached in Thailand for many years, God loves the Thai people just like he loves everybody else, and he wants them to get saved. The first anniversary of our church, 1 year old, we had 356 people in church. Hallelujah. Our second anniversary, we had over 1,000, 1,118 people in church. We were fighting to find chairs. We had to put out tents, and we were trying to find room for everybody. But people were coming, and God did something amazing. That church has now started seven other churches in Thailand. And in 2011, we moved 3 hours south, and we started again with a second church. And that church has started two more churches. There are now 11 churches in Thailand that were not there before. And people going to church on Sunday, hundreds and hundreds of them. Some of them are Thai people, and some are Laotian, and some are Cambodian, and some are from Burma. They're Burmese people. Some are the mountain tribes. They're Karen people there, and different tribes. And God's just doing something amazing. And then 10 years ago, God brought us back to America, and my pastor, Pastor John Wilkerson, asked me to become the director of FBMI, and since that time, I have learned to travel. I travel a lot. In fact, last year, I was in 26 countries just last year. I've been in about almost 970 independent Baptist churches around the world, and I believe that one of the reasons that God has allowed me to do that, one of the reasons that God has let me travel and visit so many different churches is to encourage you, to let you know that there are people just like us all over the world tonight that are coming together for Wednesday night prayer meeting. Amen. And they're talking about their missionaries and they're opening their Bibles and they're praying together. And there are millions of people doing that tonight in independent Baptist churches. And the devil's very good at telling us we're the only ones left. He did that way back in the Old Testament with Elijah. And Elijah said, Lord, I'm the only one left. And God said, no, there are 7,000 that have him not bowed the knee. And I want you to know that there are people just like you all over the world tonight that love God. And they're going to study their Bibles tonight, be blessed by it. And I hope that we're going to study our Bibles and be blessed by it as well. And thank you again for being here. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. When I was a young man, we had a contest at my school, and the contest was to see who could memorize the most Bible verses. And this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, because there's a lot of really short Bible verses. You can learn a lot of verses really quick if you want to memorize them. There's verses like, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. There's rejoice like quench not the spirit. There are 3 and 4 words long, and I actually won that contest, preacher, by memorizing all the shortest Bible verses that I could find. But tonight I'm going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and read just one verse, and it's one of the longer ones in the chapter. Verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The Bible says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That's completely. "And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is the only verse in the Bible that talks about all three parts of a human being. It talks about the spirit, the soul, and the body. Most of the time, when we say that in English, we say body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says it the other way around. It says spirit, soul, and body. And that's what makes a complete human being. You know, way back in the book of Genesis, when God said, "Let us make man in our image," the Bible says that God made man in his image. What does that mean? Does that mean we look like God? If you look around the room tonight, you'll see a lot of different looking people. Different color skin, different color hair, different color eyes. We have different shapes and sizes. We have men and we have women. So which one of us looks like God? When the Bible says that God made us in his image, it's not talking about how we look. It's talking about the fact that God is a Trinity. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is 3 in 1. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." We're going to make a man a 3-part human being with a spirit and a soul and a body. God made us all 3 parts. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and God gave them the garden to live in and said, "You can eat from any of the trees in the garden, but there's one tree that you cannot eat from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree." And very shortly afterward, after God said that, we find in the Bible, we find Eve standing in front of that one tree that she was not allowed to eat from and looking at the fruit and saying, "Wow, that sure does look good. And wow, I'll bet that would taste good." And then we hear the hiss of the serpent, and the devil comes, and he says, "Did God say you can't eat from any of the trees?" And she said, "Oh no, we can eat from all the trees, just not this one. If we eat from this one, what did God say would happen? In the day that ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." Guess what Eve did? She ate the fruit. Let me ask you a question. Not only did Eve eat the fruit, but she also took a piece over to Adam and talked Adam into eating it as well. And they both ate the fruit. Now God said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." They ate the fruit. Did they die that day? Their body didn't die. They lived another 930 years. Their soul didn't die. They continued to talk and interact with each other and have emotions and will. So what died? Their spirit died that day. And that's exactly what God said would happen. If you eat that day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. Their body didn't die, their soul didn't die, but their spirit died. And every single human being that has been born since that day has been born with a body that's alive and a soul that's alive and a spirit that's dead. Take your Bible and look, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. And look at verse 1. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened." The word quickened means he made you alive. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." I am 58 years old. I was born April 3rd, 1966. On that day, my body was born and my soul was born. But my spirit was still dead. That's why Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We're born once on our birthday. We're born a second time when we get saved. And on our physical birthday, our body becomes alive and our soul becomes alive, but our spirit is still dead until the day that we receive Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. And on that day, our spirit comes alive. And who brings us to life? God does. The Bible says, "And ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Look at verse 2. The Bible said there, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." This is talking about people that are not saved, and they live by their flesh, which is their body, and by their mind, their heart, which is their soul. And the result is, they're angry. Have you noticed how angry our world is? Have you noticed how much rage and hatred and malice there is in the world today? Have you noticed how much war is happening in the world today? That's because you have unsaved people that are living by their flesh and by their mind because their spirit is dead. Now look, if you would, and the Bible says this in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy," and thank God that he is, "for his great love wherewith he loved us." Aren't you glad that God loves you? As a preacher, I've often said, if I could take a thumb drive and put one truth on that thumb drive and stick it in your ear and download it right into your brain, the one truth that I would want to put into your brain is that God loves you. Because if we really understood how much God loves us, we would love him better. We love him because he first loved us. God said, "I love you, and I died for your sins to save you from yourself." Now look at verse 5. "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us," or made us alive, "together with Christ." And then look in the parentheses there, "by grace ye are saved." Isn't that great? God says you were born with a body that was alive and a soul that was alive and a spirit that was dead. And Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and paid for your sins. And when you accept that, God brings your spirit to life and you become a new creature. You are a new creation of God. And that body one day is going to die, isn't it? All of us know that one day this body is going to die. The older I get, the worse it works. When I was young, I could run and jump and play, and now it's hard work just getting out of bed in the morning. Amen. I mean, our bodies don't get stronger as we get older. They get weaker, and they start falling apart, and we have to start wearing eyeglasses, and we have to start taking pills in the morning, and we have all these problems that come, and one day, it's just going to stop. I was talking to my pastor the other day. He said, "Mark, how's your ticker?" That means, how's your heart working? I said, "So far, so good. It's still beating, amen? But one day it's going to stop. And when it does, they're going to take this body and they're going to put it in a box and they're going to bury it in the ground. Or they're going to burn the ashes, one or the other. That's what they do in this world. And the body's going to be gone, isn't it?" Yeah. Do you know that when that happens, if your soul does not have a live spirit, then the Bible says your soul will be placed in a lake of fire. And it'll burn there forever and forever and forever. But if your spirit is alive, then you go to heaven and you live with Jesus Christ for the rest of eternity. Those are the only two choices there are in the Bible. And if you're not saved, tonight would be a great time to get saved. Amen. So the Bible says that's what happened. You know, I fly a lot. And because I fly a lot, I've learned a lot about airplanes. In fact, yesterday when I was coming up here, I couldn't get a direct flight from Chicago to Vancouver. So I had to fly from Chicago to San Francisco, and then from San Francisco up to Vancouver. And the flight from Chicago to San Francisco was on time, and we actually got in a few minutes early, which is rare, but wonderful when it happens. And then I walked from the gate there to the gate where I was going to get on the plane to fly to Vancouver. And when I came around the corner and looked out the window, I thought, uh-oh, there's no plane there. I cannot fly without a plane. I've tried, my arms just can't do it. And so I walked around the corner, I thought, oh, there's no plane there. When I come around the corner, what I like to see is I like to see an airplane sitting there next to the gate. And it has wings and wheels and a tail, and it has a row of windows down the side. And whenever we see that, we say, there's an airplane. In fact, Pastor and I were up at Cyprus today, and there was a float plane flew over. And I said, it's a bird. No, it's a plane. No, it's a plane. It was a plane flying, and you can sell an airplane because they look like an airplane. But the truth is that's just the body of the airplane, just like you have a body. Your body is not the real you. The real you lives inside your body. Your body is just a vehicle that gets you around. And sometimes your vehicle doesn't work real well. Amen, preacher?
Right.
But you know what? Even if his legs aren't working real well, it's still Ben Turner. It's still your pastor. It's still the same person, isn't it? Because his legs are not what make him who he is. His legs are just the vehicle that get him around. I have a friend that got his leg cut off about 2 weeks ago. When he had his legs amputated, it didn't change who he was. He's still the same person. He just has, he lost weight rapidly. It's a difficult way to lose weight. I don't suggest it. But he lost a lot of weight real fast. But he's the same person. Because your body is not who you are. Your body is just the vehicle that gets you around. I like to say that our body is like an airplane that's sitting on the runway. But you know what? When I get into an airplane, I always do the same thing, preacher. When I get onto the airplane, I step into the airplane, and there's usually a stewardess, and usually there's two there. And one of them is there greeting you, and the other one's checking you out to see if you're going to be trouble. By the way, I learned a long time ago, smile and say hi to both of them, they'll leave you alone. So I go, good morning, how you doing? And I try to be friendly. But I also, while I'm walking in, I also look to the left because I want to know if there's a pilot in there. Because you got an airplane sitting on the runway and there's nobody to fly it, guess how far you're going? You're not going anywhere, are you? You got to have somebody to fly the airplane. And to be honest, the pilot of the airplane is kind of like your soul. Your soul is the real you. That's what moves your body around. The pilot is the one that decides if the plane is going to go up or down or right or left or faster or slower. He's the one that's deciding that, just like you decide, am I going to get out of bed this morning? Am I going to eat a donut or am I going to eat something healthy? Am I going to jog today? Am I going to go to the gym like I'm supposed to? Am I going to read my Bible like I ought to? Your soul is the one that decides all that. And by the way, all of our souls are different, aren't they? We all feel differently, we think differently, we all have different desires. We all have different things that make us laugh and cry. You can have a husband and wife sitting on a couch and they're watching the same movie, and she's crying, and he's laughing, and then he starts laughing because she's crying, then she starts crying because he's laughing. I mean, we all have different reactions. I can tell the same joke to three people, and one person will laugh. And one person will go, oh, Brother Bushy. And one person will go, I didn't get it. You can have all different reactions because we're all very different people. And God made us that way. God made every one of us to be unique. God doesn't want us to all be a bunch of robots. He wants us to love him the way that we are because we all individually have different souls. But watch this. Here comes the pilot. He goes into the cockpit. He sits down. He turns on the airplane. He takes off and he goes up and he begins flying that airplane. But he has no instruments. He has no radio. He has no radar. Has no idea how to go, where to go, how high or how low. Has no idea where the mountains are. Has no idea where the air currents or the turbulence is. How's he going to do flying that airplane? Probably going to have some problems, isn't he? Yeah. And the wonderful thing about the airplane is that, especially the big jets that you fly on, is they have lots and lots of instruments there in the cockpit. And so when you go in the cockpit, you can turn on all these dials and all these different instruments, and they'll tell you exactly where their airplane ought to go, how fast and how slow, up or down, left or right. And it directs the pilot. Now, the pilot has to decide to follow the instruments, but at least he's got them there. And the instruments that are there in the airplane, that's kind of like your spirit. You see, when you get saved and God, he brings your spirit alive, then suddenly you have the opportunity now to hear the Holy Spirit. Can I show you some verses real quick? Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to John chapter 3, verse 6. John chapter 3, verse 6. Of course, if you know your Bible, you know that John chapter 3 is the passage where Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus said this to Nicodemus. He said, that which is born of the flesh is what? It's flesh. Yeah. When a woman gives birth to a baby, that's one body giving birth to another body. It's flesh giving birth to flesh. But the Bible said, that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Now, look carefully at that verse, because if you have an English Bible, I want you to see something. If you look at the first Spirit, it has a capital S, doesn't it? What's that mean? That's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Yeah, that's a name. That's the name of God. That's one third of the Trinity of God. The Holy Spirit, that which is born of the Holy Spirit is Spirit. But you'll notice the second Spirit has a small s. That's your Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one that gave birth to your Spirit. Do you know who gave birth to this body right here? My mom did, Beverly Bushy, way back in 1966. Flesh birthed flesh. But 7 years later, I was sitting on the couch in the living room on a Saturday morning, and my mom opened the Bible and showed me the gospel, and I knelt down in front of the sofa, and I prayed and received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I got born again. Amen. I got born the second time that day. That day, it wasn't my body that got born, and it wasn't my soul that got born. It was my Spirit that got born. And guess who gave birth to my Spirit? Not my mother. She was the one that showed me the gospel, but she couldn't save me. Right. It was the Holy Spirit that gave birth to my Spirit on that day. And if you're saved here tonight, then you have the same testimony. You got your birth, your fleshly birth came from your mother, and your spiritual birth came from the Holy Spirit. That's the way the Bible says that it works. Now, look, if you would, at John chapter 4. Turn over just a little bit further, John chapter 4, and look at verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23. Now, in chapter 3, we have the story of Jesus talking to Nicodemus. In John chapter 4, we have the story of Jesus talking to the woman at the well. Look what he says in verse 23. He says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Is that word Spirit big S or little s? That's a little s. Is that talking about the Holy Spirit or is that your Spirit? That's your Spirit, isn't it? Do you understand what the Bible's saying? That when we worship God, that we're not supposed to worship God with our body. You go to some churches and their idea of worshiping God is dancing. It's having a rock and roll party. That we're not supposed to worship God with our body. We're not supposed to worship God with our soul. It's not a mental decision. It's not a rational thing. It's a spiritual thing. We worship God in spirit and in truth. And the truth is right here. And my spirit comes alive when I get saved. And I say, God, I read your word. I found the truth. And I worship you from my spirit because you are a great God. That's the kind of worship that God is looking for. That's why I love singing songs like we sang tonight, where the song is not about the beat. The song is about the words that are praising God for being a wonderful God, and it comes from our spirit. Now, look, if you would, in verse 24. The Bible says, For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, capital S, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means that my spirit should be tuned in to the Holy Spirit. Now, let me go back, if you don't mind, just for a minute. Let me go back to the airplane again. All right? My body is like the airplane. My soul is like the pilot flying the airplane. My spirit is like the instruments of the airplane. And the Holy Spirit is the air control tower that's sending the signal to the airplane so that he can tell the instruments what to tell the pilot, so the pilot knows where to fly. By the way, we live in a world today of 8 billion people, and many of them are flying their airplane with the instruments turned off. They have a dead spirit. That's why they're crashing into mountains. That's why we see divorce happen. That's why we see unhappy marriages and unhappy homes. That's why we see the crime that we do. That's why we see the hatred and the gangs and the drugs and the immorality and the war going on around the world. Because you got a whole lot of people that are trying to fly through life with just a body and a soul, and there's no spirit to guide them. But we don't have to live that way.
Amen.
Because we're saved. And we have a spirit that is alive. And we have a Holy Spirit that is speaking to us. Do you know that right now in this room, our church in Indiana, preacher, we have our own radio station. Now, it took a long time to be able to afford to do that. But we were able to buy a license, and we have 24/7, we have our own radio station playing preaching and godly music all the time, all week long. And that radio wave is going through the room all the time. Do you know that sitting right here, there are radio waves going through this room right now? In fact, they're going right through your body right now. But you can't hear them. You know why you can't hear them? You don't have a radio. The waves are there. There's no way to pick up the signal. You see, the Holy Spirit is talking all the time, too. The Holy Spirit is constantly speaking, constantly drawing men unto Himself. You know why most of the world does not hear the Holy Spirit? Because they don't have a spirit turned on to listen to Him.
Right.
When you get saved, right after you get saved, you pick up the Bible and you read the Bible and you say, huh, I never understood this before, but I just read a verse and it made sense. That's because the Holy Spirit is speaking to your spirit that is now alive.
Amen.
You can come to church for years being unsaved and say, I'm not getting anything out of this. This preacher's not feeding me. I'm not getting anything out. I'll tell you what, the music here, it's kind of dull. And boy, I don't know why people bother going. It's just not very exciting. And then you got somebody else comes to the same room and listens to the same preacher and sings the same songs and talks with the same people and say, man, I love our church. It's because one person has a spirit that's turned on and another one has a spirit that's turned off. But that's not all. It's also possible to have your spirit turned on and not tuned in. Yeah. Because once you get saved, the devil can't get you unsaved.
Amen.
Once you get born again, the devil can't get you unborn again. Once you receive God, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit moves into you, He's never going to move out. You're always saved. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that the moment you got saved, that there's no way you can ever go to hell. There's nothing that he can do to change that. He can never get you lost again, but he can move the dial. And he's going to do everything he can to move the dial. You know what happens when you're listening to the radio and there's some beautiful classical music playing there and you're enjoying the flute and the cello and the piccolo and the tuba, and then a toddler comes by and says, Mommy, Mommy, and reaches up and turns the dial, and all of a sudden you're listening to classical music and all of a sudden you're listening to all you can hear is static. The radio's still on. It's just not tuned in. And here's where I think the biggest problem is today in our independent Baptist churches, is that we have a body that's alive, we have a soul that's alive, we have a spirit that's alive, but our spirit is not tuned in to the Holy Spirit, and we're not able to hear His signal. How can somebody come to church for a whole year and never one time make a decision based on what they heard from the Holy Spirit? Maybe they're not hearing the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You say, preacher, are they unsaved? No, they can be saved. But maybe their radio's off the dial. Maybe they're just hearing static because they're not tuned in. You know, the Bible says there are some things that will cause our spirit to be able to not be able to hear the Holy Spirit. And I know it's getting late, and I don't want to take you too long. And I know that we got refreshments afterwards, and so we're going to get to those in just a minute. But let me show you three things real quick that the Bible says can ruin your spirit and keep you from hearing the Holy Spirit. First of all, look, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. The first one is what I call a wrecked spirit. A wrecked spirit. That's when we've been out in the world. There are some things, boy, I tell you what, there are some movies, if you watch that movie, you don't finish watching an R-rated movie and turn the TV off and say, wow, I feel like reading my Bible now. There's some music that if you listen to it, when you're finished listening to it, you have no desire to go to a prayer meeting. There are some things that we are subjected to, and there are some things that we are exposed to that will move our spirit off the dial so that we're not hearing the Holy Spirit. And that's what I call a wrecked spirit. By the way, I've talked to people that go to churches and their music program is, and I don't want to be unkind, but their music program is a rock concert. And they go to these churches and they rock and roll for about 30 minutes. And then the preacher stands up, and many times he doesn't even use a Bible. And I ask myself, how can you go to church and feed your flesh for 30 minutes and then expect your spirit to be tuned into the Holy Spirit? There's probably a reason they don't use their Bible, because it's not going to speak to them anyway. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 18 and 19. Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 18. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, I'm not going to say anything about alcohol, but God does. God says, don't be drunk with wine. You know what I think alcohol is? Are you listening to me tonight? I think alcohol is the devil's counterfeit for the Holy Spirit. You know what happens when somebody drinks alcohol? Sometimes when they drink alcohol, they get real happy, don't they? Sometimes when they drink alcohol, they want to fight. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'll go for anybody. Sometimes when they get alcohol, they cry. Some people, when they drink alcohol, they get really generous. I was walking down the street in Chicago one day, and I met four guys that were drunk. They offered me a beer. I said, no thanks, I'm a Christian. And the guy said, you go to church? I said, yes, I'm from First Baptist Church. And he said, here, preacher. And he reached in his hand, took out a $100 bill, gave me a $100 bill. You say, Brother Bushy, what'd you do? I took it. He was giving it to me, amen. I took it. He was drunk. He didn't know what he was doing. He was just being generous. Thank God. I mean, maybe he'll get rewards in heaven. I don't know. But I took, you know, sometimes people become generous. When people are drunk, They're not controlling themselves. They're being controlled by the spirits in that bottle. Yeah. And all of it is counterfeit. Do you know what happens to you when you get filled with the Holy Spirit? You find peace. You sing. You get happy. You become generous. You get boldness. The truth is, everything that people are looking for in a bottle, they should get from the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it starts talking about music. Look at the next verse. In verse 19, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I believe that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we will tune ourselves in to the right kind of music. And I believe that the right kind of music helps us to tune ourselves in to the Holy Spirit. Don't wreck your spirit with the wrong kind of music. Don't wreck your spirit with the wrong kind of video games. Don't wreck your spirit by listening to critical people. Don't wreck your spirit on social media. Be careful what you allow to move your spirit off the dial. Make sure that you stay tuned in so that the Holy Spirit can speak to you. A lot of people are saved. Their spirit is alive, but they're not tuned into the Holy Spirit because they've allowed their spirit to be wrecked by the things of the world. Number two is a wounded spirit. A wounded spirit. Can I ask you a question? How many of you would say tonight, Brother Bushy, sometime in my life, someone else has hurt me? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, that's most of us. Maybe some of the little children don't raise their hand, but most of us would say somewhere along the line. How many would say more than one? Yeah, the older you get, the more hands go up. Amen. Yeah, I've been hurt and hurt and hurt, and I've been betrayed and stabbed in the back and lied about, and somebody stole from me, and they did me wrong. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. Yeah, and a lot of times, if you let it, that'll wound your spirit. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 14. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Well, when your spirit is wounded, when you're carrying around a grudge, when you're carrying bitterness in your heart, you're blocking the signal. There are some people that when you talk to them, all they want to do is they want to explain why it wasn't their fault and somebody else did wrong. And boy, they ought to get what's coming to them. And that's the topic of every conversation. Why? They have a wounded spirit. They've got a wounded spirit. And those are not the people that come forward and make a decision on Sunday after the preaching, because their wounded spirit has blocked the Holy Spirit from speaking to them. But if you've got somebody that hurt you, let me encourage you to take it to the Lord and say, God, I can't fix that person. That's not my job. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I'm going to let you take care of it, God. I'm going to forgive them as Christ forgave me, and I'm going to move on because I want my spirit to be open to your Holy Spirit. Don't carry a wounded spirit. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oftentimes I'll go to church and pastor will say, Brother Bushy, I'm sorry, this isn't right, or this didn't go the way I thought it would. And I told your preacher tonight, I said, I'm excited about going to church tonight. Tonight is going to be the largest crowd I've ever seen at Anchor Baptist Church. And it is, amen? You are the largest crowd I've ever seen here. It's my first time. But that makes sense, amen? But you know what? If two people showed up, it's not going to offend me. I often tell people I'm easygoing and hard to offend. You know why? Because I love the Bible. And when you love the Bible, God gives peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Protect your spirit. You're going to have people this week that do something that bugs the fire out of you, that just drives you up a wall, makes you angry. Don't let it make you angry. Don't let it do that. Don't let other people wound your spirit. Don't wreck your spirit. Don't wound your spirit. Number three, make sure you don't have a weak spirit. You know how you keep your body strong? You feed it. Amen? Anybody here eating today? Have you eaten today? Amen? Anybody here looking forward to eating again after the service? It's coming real soon, amen? Yeah, we all like to eat, don't we? Yeah, if you don't eat for a long time, guess what? You get weak, don't you? Yeah, even Jesus got weak when he fasted. Yeah, do you know how you get a weak mind? You get a weak mind by not feeding it. That's why it's so important that we read. You know what the word amusement means? Anybody here a wordsmith? The word amuse comes from two Latin words. Muse means to think. The prefix a means not. Amusement means you don't have to think. You can sit down and watch a two-hour Disney movie and not think at all. You just put your brain in neutral and just go with the flow. And when it's all done and you turn it off, guess what you learned? Nothing. Nope, it's just bubble gum for the brain for about 2 hours. You don't grow at all.